Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday morning, we say hello and good morning to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. We saw you yesterday morning down in the locker room after skate. Adam Vinken told me last night you've got some big article coming out that we need to check out on The Athletic. So tell us, what do you got cooking?
Well, gosh, I think Adam might be overselling it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'm writing a column about the Predators, which, you know, at this point, not a lot of fun topics with this team right now. But I do have the idea, and this is sort of based on conversations, you know, with fans. I think there are a lot of things you can point to with this team right now. But one thing that I see some people pointing out, which I really find misguided, is like the idea that this is like Roman Josi's fault or that he shouldn't be the captain because of this. So
what? Where are you seeing that? What?
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. This is his fault, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is – I think that's somewhat – I mean, I think the idea of, like, leadership or, you know, intangibles, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think I've seen this before, you know, with teams, and, you know, it's like, what's the captain doing? Isn't the captain supposed to be doing something? I mean, to me, the captain, number one, has to set a tone with his daily approach and his performance. And I would say Roman Josi's been great. I mean, you know, Roman Josi has been, I think he's been fantastic. And I actually got to talk to him a little bit alone last night. And, you know, he's super frustrated with this. I mean, he's trying different things to try to get things going. But ultimately, and this is kind of the point of it, I mean, you know, a captain can do so much. He's holding up his end. A lot of other individuals are not right now. And I think, you know, people should not miss that.
Well, I'm glad you said good word, misguided. I mean, I luckily have not seen that. I think that's absurd. I mean, I get it. People want to point fingers, and I understand when things aren't good, but that should be, you know, 59 should not be, anything should not be directed his way. I mean, he's doing his part. So if I just asked you, what do you see as this team has now completed 48 games? What do you see as maybe the biggest problem in your mind?
Well, I think the biggest problem is, for whatever reason, there's this collective letdown that happens. And now, and honestly, I think this team is a better road team right now. I mean, I think it is certainly lately. And I think it's almost like in the building now, when something goes wrong, you can feel the sag everywhere. You know, and again, I'm not blaming the fans for that at all, but I think they just have an expectation now that, you know, it's not going to go well. And, I mean, look, Rocco Grimaldi's last home loss kind of went off on this. Like, you know, we can't react this way. When the other team scores, we can't just, you know, like let it affect us to that extent. I'm paraphrasing him.
Right, he was talking about that it was basically, once again, paraphrasing, lifeless on the bench when they get down a goal or two.
So it's like last night, I thought they played well in the first period. You make a couple mistakes, you're down 2-1, but you're fine. And then you come with what they came with in the second period, you know? And it's hard to watch. I mean, it really is. Like, this team is hard to watch. And that's what's I'm kind of getting to this, too. It's like, just look at some of these guys. Think back to what some of these guys used to do. Like how Johansson and what he did in that 2017 run before he got knocked out. You know, what Forsberg has done in some of these playoff runs, just absolutely, like, at times, like, that's the best player on the ice, you know. Just the grit. This was an inspiring team, and it's not now. And it's not fair to some guys, because I'm looking out there and I'm seeing Nick Bonino and Craig Smith and Rocco Grimaldi. I'm seeing those guys doing all they can do, but there's just a collective disconnect right now. And so I think if you want to
dissect it. Just some individuals simply have to play better. And obviously John Hines has already targeted Ryan Johansson. It's early in John Hines' tenure here, but already he is seeing, there's no question on things he said last night and the fact that Johansson played 10, had 10 minutes and change of ice time, that, that's a guy certainly who needs to respond here.
10.5 minutes, and I think took 3 draws. Usually, Johansson's taking about 17 faceoffs a night. He had 3 last night in 10.5 minutes of ice time. So, as they're about to close the book on month number 4, Thursday night in New Jersey will be game 50, and that'll do it for January. Do you think they can turn this around? Where do you think this is going?
I still do. It's funny because you also compare this. I mean, let's compare their situation right now. I know they're in last place, but, they are a good couple weeks from being right in the playoffs again. Compare their situation right now to, like, the Titans in October, 2-4 and toast, with no reason to think that they would find any offense this year. I mean, compare that to this. I think it's a much rosier picture here. It's not rosy right now, especially after a game like that, but I still do think they can pull out of this. I still think they do have a lot of talent. I know it doesn't always look that way, but there are guys whose track records are undeniable, some elsewhere, some here, who simply have to produce and play better. So, in fact, last night I made a bet in the media room that they would make the playoffs. One beer. I got a beer on the line. There you go. And it's like laughable to some people now that they might make the playoffs. It's ebbs and flows of the season. Now, and maybe it's just, this is just what it's going to be. And maybe by the trading deadline, it'll be obvious they have to sell. And, it's just headed that way. But maybe I'm being too optimistic. I still think that there's a chance for them to get it turned around. And, this is going to be really telling, too, of, John Hines and what buttons he can push to try to get it going.
Is this micro? Is this domestic? What's on the line? This whatever?
Oh. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, that's a good,
Kraft probably would have been a better
Kraft way. Kraft is a better way of putting it.
If I win, it'll be like exotic Kraft.
Oh, exotic Kraft.
Did
Mike Mularkey make up that name, Exotic Kraft?
I knew you were going to go there. So predictable.
Yeah, I like it. But, if I lose, it'll be like PBR.
PBR.
Nice.
Some people like PBR.
No,
it's still
mind.
Kicking.
Right. It's kind of trendy now.
Well, Joe, meanwhile, you've got the off-season beginning, and it's always – it's so sad almost, within hours after the AFC Championship game ended for the Titans, you start thinking about, what do they do with all these guys? What moves are they going to make? But that is, I guess, the nature of the business here. So first and foremost, we've been posing it to almost everybody who covers the Titans. What do you think the percentage chances that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback back next year?
Excuse me. Percentage chance he's the quarterback next year. I will say 92%.
I think that's sort of falling into line to where we're going. Darren, where are you on that, by the way? You've been sort of the holdout. Chase has gone up towards that number, don't you think, Chase?
Yeah.
You weren't that way a week ago.
And I admitted yesterday
now you're
that I
was
kind of
with all the things that we've learned about this, where are you at now, Darren? Do you want to bet Joe a beer?
82%.
82. Where were you last week?
72.
I'm at 90.
So, Joe, is that the vibe you're getting, though, that they just want to keep it moving in the direction that it's moving? Or do you think there is some intrigue at just taking a look at a guy like Brady? This is the big thing. We don't even know if Brady would be available to look at.
Right. Now, we do know that, there's probably informal conversations that take place between Tom Brady and members of the Titans organization, even whether it's about this or not, right? So I would say there's probably a good feel. But, to me, it's just, I mean, it's really just my opinion. Like, I don't see how that 13 game sample isn't enough to be like, you gotta keep rolling with this guy. And I understand that it was well above his, you know, career numbers, but that was a different situation. And again, with Tannehill, the thing that people forget is he was actually building toward something, I think, really good in 2016 before blowing his knee. And then he really was never healthy again in Miami. Now, that could also scare you off, but he made it through last year, you know, looking durable and good. And I just, so to me, it's easy at 31 with what he just did with Arthur Smith in this system. It's an easy decision to me.
Now let's go to Derrick Henry. It's easy to say, well, if you can't make a deal, slap the franchise tag on him. And that might happen. I worry, though, that in some past times, and I realize everybody's different, but a lot of times when a guy plays with the franchise tag, it creates a feel, an environment that's just not comfortable. For the player, there's some anxiety. Everybody's asking him about it. I really hope that they can find a way, especially because Derrick Henry has matured, grown up, become a leader, all of the intangible things to go with the numbers he's putting up. I would hate to have that cloud hanging over that he's playing with the franchise tag. Is he going to hold out? Is he going to practice? All of the questions that go with having that tag. Do you think that they can avoid that?
I think they can. It'll be really interesting, and I think they really want to. I think John Robinson is, I think it goes along with everything he's trying to do in that work environment. I think he'd love to avoid the tag in any situation. So, I agree. I mean, different places. I mean, you look at like Washington, they were fine slapping the tag two times in a row on Kirk Cousins. Bruce Allen was fine doing that. You look where they are now. He handled it well, but it was still kind of a strange situation. And it's a looming storyline too, no matter what's happening with the team. I mean, there's a distraction element that comes with that as well. So, I think they can, and it's just going to be interesting. I think with Tannehill and Henry, it's also like on their side of things. Do they see, that they like where they are? They like their teammates. They want this to continue and work together. Is there any level of, take a few bucks off here or there because of that? I don't know. It'll be interesting. With that, Derrick Henry is, you can certainly sit on the other side of the table from him and say, two down back and look at all these long-term running back deals that haven't worked out and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, realistically, the guy won you two playoff games. He dominated two playoff games on the road. And you built everything around him, and he's the best guy running the football in the league. So, Where does that all come down? Does it come down to like a Zeke kind of numbers? It's going to be fascinating to see. But I do think, Willie, in the end, it will be a long-term deal to some extent and not a tag.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. So, I've been doing this lately, making the comparisons. You look at what David Poyle has done over the past few years, signing a lot of these guys to long-term contracts, and at the time it looked like that was the way to go, but it also puts you in that salary cap situation where you're right up against it, so you can't do a whole lot of other things. I now look at the Titans that are kind of entering that that realm with trying to sign these guys, and can you keep the top four, as we say, Tannehill, Henry, Conklin, and Logan Ryan? I think it's going to be difficult. What do you think the balance is of trying to do that, trying to keep some continuity, but also leaving room to add the depth?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chase. And I don't know. I mean, I think you can make strong cases, and especially, again, talking about that locker room and how people fit into that locker room and how important that is to the whole picture. I think if you take that into account beyond what they're doing on the field, I think you really strengthen the cases for keeping both Logan Ryan and Jack Conklin. Doesn't mean that you will. They will have the money. The money is there for them to do all of that. But then, as you said, then you don't have a lot of wiggle room after that. How important is it to John Robinson to go out and get a pass rusher. You know, I mean, he got Cam Wake last year. Clearly he needs more in that area. That's the glaring need. How important is it to have, you know, is there someone out there and Ngakoue or somebody like that who he, you know, covets? And if so, then I think you probably have to be ready to part with one of those guys. I mean, Conklin, I think, had a really good year, his best year since his rookie year. And again, I think he and Logan Ryan both are really big parts of that locker room. You know, but that's still, I mean, a deal, a comparable deal is somewhere in the, you know, 15, 16 million a year range for him. You know, Logan Ryan is getting up there. Logan Ryan in his role is excellent. Then when he had to play outside, when Michael Butler got hurt and Dory was hurt and they had to move around and stuff, you could see, you know, he's not a guy who's going to go out there and run with fast receivers in the NFL. That's not his thing. He's an excellent all-around player, blitzer, you know, slot guy. And, again, locker room guy. But, you know, how much do you value that? So that's going to be interesting. I mean, I wrote this, and I'll stick with it. I think that they should sign all those guys. I do, because I think they do have a special locker room. And I think that tilts it in their favor. But I won't be shocked if one of those two, Ryan or Conklin, is somewhere else next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if they could do all four, then they would. But it's going to cost a lot of money. I mean, you can make some cuts because there are some veterans on this team that I think they could part ways with to clear up some room. But we'll see how it shakes out. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about Tennis Sandgren, the run that he had in the Australian Open. We started the show talking about it, of watching his match against Roger Federer last night. It looked like he had it in the bag, and then the old wily veteran Federer was able to come back and win it. Pretty cool story, though, with Tennis Sandgren being from Gallatin.
Well, amazing. And, you know, he saved 8 match points, Federer did.
Seven, but who's counting?
It was a lot.
Oh, okay, 7. I'm sorry. Yeah. And unfortunately, like, I found out about this from tweets this morning. So I've got to go back. And I was driving home from, apparently it was like, obviously late night with the Australian Open, so I didn't get to see any of it. But yeah, that's too bad for him. You know, that's one of those like breakthrough moments. And I still think it's a, you know, hopefully for him, it's a confidence moment and it's an awareness moment of him, but still, you know, to be able to get that done and get to the semis, how big would that have been for his career?
Would have been awesome.
By the way, real quick, Joe, what's the deal with the new MLS stadium? What's going on? All I keep seeing is, costs are going up, and is this what's happening right now?
Yeah, it's actually a good question that I asked myself this week, and I gotta, you know, get on that a little bit. But clearly, you know, there's some setbacks and some unforeseen things, which, you know, is not uncommon in these things. I mean, you know, there's extreme examples like LA, for example, and what has gone on with that stadium. But, yeah, clearly not all has gone as planned, so gotta look into that more. But, you know, I don't know if I would say at this point it's like massive, you know, sound, you know, the alarms, but still not ideal.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Yes, and I will see you tomorrow, sir, in person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm in with you the next 2 days. You didn't know what I mean. This has got to be a huge revelation for you. You got to be so excited.
Oh, I didn't know.
We are excited.
Well, great. Thanks for breaking news.
Yeah, there you go. Breaking.
We're just hoping to make it to noon, Joe, today. If we could just make it past, if we could make it to 2 o'clock today, that would be great. Then we'll look ahead to the rest of the week.
Hey, and I'm going to bring up what my percentage that I put on Jeremy Pruitt returning next season too. By the way,
Please do, please do.
Can't believe you waited this long.
Darren, in the last few months, you've had a few.
How
that
did
have come
you
back
let me off the
you.
Hook?
You've
to
had
the
a
end.
Few that have come back to haunt you. Okay, it all started about a year ago when you said the Titans should tank to get Trevor Lawrence. That's where I think he went off the rails.
Really?
Since then, you've had a few more like that. You had the Jeremy Pruitt one.
But I was talking about this upcoming season.
And now, you know,
that was a year ago.
You kind of went down the road of Brady pretty heavy. You got all over Tim Hasselbeck about his
0%. 0%?
That could hurt you.
It could.
Hey, listen. You've always got Stillman takes to compare yourself against if you need help.
That's your safety valve, is you're still nowhere in the same universe as Jared when going out on the limb.
The difference is I believe what I say. That's the difference. Joe, have a good one.
I see you guys.
Have a good drink.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.